Hi everyone, and welcome to the October edition of the DistilleryTours.Scot podcast, giving you that wee bit of extra insight from Scotland's whisky distilleries. My name's Nikki Simpson, and in this episode I spoke to Mark Westmoreland, Global Brand Ambassador for the Wolfburn Distillery in Thurso. Mark talks about the team at Wolfburn and how each of their strengths makes the distillery thrive, how their motto of fortune favours the brave leads them in all they do, and how choosing his favourite whisky is like choosing his favourite child. If you'd like to find out more about the Wolfburn Distillery and its whisky, check out distillerytours.scot and click on the Book Now button on the Wolfburn listing. We hope you enjoy it.
Start your whisky journey with Caledonian McBrain, proud sponsors of Distillery and Whisky News podcasts. Visit calmac.co.uk for further information.
So today I'm here with Mark Westmoreland, a Global Brand Ambassador at the Wolfburn Distillery. How are you doing, Mark?
Very well, Nikki. Yeah, thanks very much for the invite. Looking forward to a good chat this morning.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Yes, me too. I've been dying to hear more about Wolfburn ever since we started Distillery Tours. So yeah, looking forward to it too. So you've been at Wolfburn since 2018, is that right?
Yeah, full-time employee since 2018, and initially I got asked to sort of come on board in 2016, so I suppose doing some under-the-radar work up until my full-time posting in 18. So yeah, it's flying by, which is great, you know, because it's like anything. If you're in a job that you love and you're passionate about, you know, it's just such a breeze and such an excitement to promote Wolfburn on a global stage. So yeah, extremely happy.
Cool. And but you weren't always in the drinks industry, is that right?
Yeah, I had a star-studded career in the Scottish Police Service. Anybody that knows me will probably tell me that's utter bullshit. But yeah, 30 years a police officer. And my connection with the distillery is I was born and bred in Thurso, where the distillery is. And I actually left there in 1988 to join the police in the central belt of Scotland. So I've gone from, you know, not so much poacher turned gamekeeper, but really gamekeeper turned poacher, because I used to see the worries and used to lock up folk that were mad with a drink, and now I'm actively encouraging it. But I'll actually say at this point, I'm holding my hand up saying, please drink responsibly.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. We've spoken a little bit before and talked about some of the characters at the distillery. Can you tell me about some of them? How did you actually get the job at Wolfburn? How did you, because I mean, you know, just living in Thurso doesn't guarantee you a job at Wolfburn, I imagine.
No, you're right. Yeah, and it's like hen's teeth as well. You know, these distillery jobs, it's who you know, maybe not so much as what you know. And my friend, who was also a retired police officer, he's our tour manager, and it was Charlie in 2016 that said, look, I've got a couple of jobs. I'm also doing some work for Wolfburn. You like a bit of a blether. You've got a good bit of banter about you. You can hold your own in conversation, and you like whiskey as well. So how about you give us a dig out? So it really started from there. So 2016-17, started doing some shows, festivals, met the bosses. Bosses were quite happy with a local lad promoting the local whisky on that global stage as well. So there's I was aware of the rich history and the heritage of Caithness and the area, the field where the distillery was, the Wolfburn itself, where the water source is. You know, as a young child, I used to go down to the fields and pick mushrooms with my dad and in the Wolfburn, because it's a natural spring rising in the moors. You know, it was always a haven for newts and sticklebacks, and you were down there with your net trying to sort of catch whatever. But yeah, that would probably be frowned upon now with the environmentalists. But as a young lad growing up in the sort of early 70s, it was a great playdate, I must admit, round about where the Wolfburn Distillery is. So yeah, that's how I got involved. And Charlie...
That sounds lovely. I mean, I don't think the environmentalists will be that bothered as long as you're not taking a trawler into the burn. I mean,
yeah.
Occasional newt or minnow would be all right.
So much fun. And, you know, the scenery, and you're looking out over to Orkney, You can see Dunnet Head, the most northerly point on the British mainland, just from the back of the distillery. And the Wolf Burn just runs at the back of the distillery as well. So we're blessed that we managed to secure a couple of plots on a new industrial estate, just about 300 yards from where the original Wolf Burn distillery was. So yeah, it's a great place to work and a great sort of feel-good factor with the team that we have.
So you said that you were a few hundred yards from where the old distillery was. When did that close? What was the history there?
Yeah, well, it originally opened in 1821, so some 200 years ago. And unfortunately, we don't have any pictures. We don't have any recipes. We do have some tax records. So in 1825, I think it was, Wolf Burn Distillery was the largest producer of whiskey in Caithness, which is the county we're in. And it was producing about 125,000 litres at that time. And we're only producing about that ourselves, using modern day efficient methods as well.
Wow.
And it lasted for about 30, 40 years. Some maps will show Wolf Burn as a going concern, and some maps might show it in ruins. So we don't actually really know. We've looked at some voters' roll checks as well, and we see the master distiller, and it just goes to prove to you, I suppose, the only records in life are death and taxes, which we have for Wolf Burn. So you just you never know. But it's a great story. It's a great legend as well, and we've reawakened that name when we rebuilt the distillery in 2012, and it was from a blank canvas. So we managed to design it the way we wanted, and we're happy as Larry now.
Yeah, it's an awesome looking distillery. That's unusual to have no photos from that period, huh? I wonder if there's people out there with photos somewhere tucked somewhere that they've never shown anyone. Anybody listening, if you have photos of Wolf Burn back in the old days, then
big
give us
shout
a call.
Out, yeah, please do. There's a bottle waiting amazing, for you as well. You know, it's bring a photograph of the old Wolf Burn distillery and exchange it for one of our core expressions. There's a wee hook for folk to come in as well.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
You know, you say it's an amazing, it looks like an amazing distillery, which is, I'm completely biased, but people have described Wolf Burn as one of the ugliest distilleries in Scotland, because from the outside, it's just like a big cattle shed, because it's a modern day efficient distillery. All the workings are inside. We don't have the pagodas. We don't have the original buildings, etc. But I tell people, especially when I'm doing tastings, when I'm looking out at people, I says, I don't care what you look like. It's what's inside that counts. You know, your beating heart. And when you come into Wolf Burn, we don't have the big fancy visitor centre. You chap the door, you're in. You're into the belly of the beast, and everything's there in front of you, which is an amazing experience, because the flow of the production is just like the flow of our whiskey as well. It's been expertly managed, and everything is in a pristine condition as well, because what you want to do, you want to create a great working environment. And it's a pleasure walking through those doors to see everything spick and span and everything in its right place, because it just fills you with the motivation to do a great job.
That must have been really nice, having that, doing it from scratch then. I sometimes think that legacy buildings can be a hindrance to people sometimes. So lovely to be able to create it from scratch. What was the build like?
Yeah, some listeners can jump onto YouTube and you can see the time-lapse build of Wolf Burn as well. But the great thing for us, Richard Forsyth had just taken over the company from his father, the great still makers of Rothes. And everything at our distillery was built by Forsyth's and their subsidiary companies as well. So it was like a Lego, like a Lego set. You could plan everything, where it was going. And the great thing that Forsyth's had, it was like a blank canvas. So they managed to, as I said earlier on, just that lovely flow to the distillery, and where their site is in Rothes, it was the old Capardonnach distillery as well. So they had access to some old pieces of equipment. And it's always nice when you're building a new distillery to put something from the past in to pay homage and the nod to the craftsmen. So we've got two big Capardonnach washbacks. One's our spring water tank. We draw 57,000 litres into the distillery from the Wolf Burn, and one's our effluent tank, our waste tank. And we try not to get the two mixed up for obvious reasons. But these big, huge red washbacks are visible as you come into the distillery on the right-hand side. And above that, we have our motto, Fortune Favours the Brave. So again, that's a great sort of thing to see every day as you're coming into the distillery, because it's all about, yes, it's all about taking risks. It's all about sort of sitting and sort of building on your success as well. But nothing in this life will come to you if you just sit in your arse. You know, you've got to actually, you've got to get up and you've got to put the effort in. And certainly over the last 8.5 years, because we've been in production 8.5 years. It was built in 2012, and our first spirit was laid down on the 25th of January 2013. Burns Night, piece of marketing genius. not so much Wolf Burns Night. You know, I got my I did some sort of tastings in Edinburgh a few years ago around about Burns Night, and the purists were up in arms because I was tongue in cheek calling it Wolf Burns Night. But we're friends now, which is really good. but yeah, fortune favours the brave. It's all about, yeah, taking risks, pushing the boat, and then reaping the rewards. And we're slowly, slowly doing that year upon year. But we wanted to do it naturally and organically, as they say, as well, because we're a laid-back people in the north of Scotland. You know, if we can't do it today, we'll do it tomorrow. So there's no rush.
Yeah, that's nice. I love that motto. It's really powerful, huh? Seeing that every day.
Yeah.
Quite inspiring, really.
Yeah, that motivational sort of strap line that you see, and you'll see it on like some of our marketing as well. You know, you'll see me wandering about various airports across the world. I'm actually just back from Paris last night, doing a gig over the weekend. So yeah, I was wandering about the airport with a Wolf Burn t-shirt on, and on the back it said "Fortune favours the brave," and it was, you know, it's a talking piece. Alone, and maybe just going a wee bit off topic here, but a guy came up to me and said, "That's the last dram that I had in Scotland." And I said, and what part of the United States are you from?" And this was in Charles de Gaulle in Paris. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Oh, I'm from New York." And he said, "In 2 weeks' time, I'm actually doing a tasting with a local supplier." And I said, "And I'm doing the tasting. It's me that's actually doing the tasting. So you'll see
me
again." No,
that's weird.
You know, and I love these moments. You know, it's like diamonds in the dust. It really is. Making connections and, you know, the feel-good factor that somebody just came up to you because you're wearing that Wolf Burn t-shirt and they didn't know if I was connected with a distillery. They weren't doing it for any kudos. They just came up and said, "Great dram. That's the last dram that I had in Scotland." And then it just opens up to like a wealth of possibilities as well, which is great. Great story.
How lovely. I love coincidences like that. I live for that kind of thing. It's great fun.
Yeah, it sure is.
So it's quite a small distillery with quite a small team. How many people is it?
Yeah, we've got 5 guys on the stills. Ian is our master distiller. He had previously worked at Glenlivet, and he came up in sort of 2013 when we first started production. Charlie and Innes, they both started their apprenticeships in 2016, so they're 5 years, over 5 years served now. And then we've got Matthew, we just brought on from school last year in the height of the pandemic. He's just 17, and Max is 21 now as well. So it's a good young team. But the great thing, because it's a traditional distillery and we do everything on site apart from our own maltings, these guys have experience on the mash, on the stills and the fermentation, stowing the whiskey, filling casks. We hand bottle all our products as well. So there's many a day that you'll see us all in the bottling hall, especially on a Wednesday when we're not doing any production actually on the site. We tend to do mashes on the Monday, Tuesday and the Thursday, Friday. Maybe 6 mashes a week or 8 mashes a week, depending on the time of year as well. And characters, you know, we mentioned Charlie, who Charlie got me into at first, but Ian, our distillery manager, you'll never get Ian on a podcast like this. He's He's like, look, just leave me alone. Just let me get on with making a whiskey. You've got Mark as employed as the global brand ambassador. He's got many hats. Yeah, I do have many hats that I wear at the distillery. However, he's like, no, I like making whiskey. Just keep me away from the public. I'm quite, he's quite humble. He's very humble, I must admit, Ian. He is. He's a great guy.
I wish I hadn't said that now. I feel like I've got a challenge. I feel like I have to meet this man and convince him to bare his soul on the podcast.
You know, he does come out. He does speak to the public. But it's, you know, I suppose it's one of these things. If you've got a job and you've been employed to do a specific job, anything else over and above that, it's grief maybe that you don't need, or you know, it's just maybe biting time into your precious time as it is. It's like, you know, I'm front of house. You know, I'm the sort of jazz hands and the stories and the legends and putting the liquid to the lips, because that's what it's all about. And Ian's, he's the background. He's the manager. He's the, you know, he's looking at the casks and doing everything about the distillery. And that's what it should be like. You know, we all have our sort of strengths and weaknesses, and that's what brings the team together, because it's like, you know, it's like that balanced approach that if somebody isn't good at something, somebody else might be good at it. So, you know, you just make it work like that. And the five guys that are on the stills, and we've got Charlie still as the tour manager working in the shop as well. And we've got Jen and Gemma, mother and daughter combo, who are sort of admin manager and admin assistant as well. So it's just a great, great feeling that when people come into the distillery and they're seeing happy, smiley faces, and they're amazed at the sort of personalities and the personable contact that we give at the distillery, because it's not a huge corporate machine. You know, it's done with like blood, sweat and tears. But I always say that, you know, our whiskey, that wouldn't taste nice if it was just blood, sweat and tears. That's why we have to produce a phenomenal spirit.
You never know, that could be the next expression, huh? I know what you mean about that small team, though, and also people having their own strengths. I mean, when I used to work in a bar, all the staff used to work on the bar, but they also used to work in the kitchen. It was like one of the deals. Yeah. You had to do both. And sometimes you didn't want to be in the kitchen at all, and we'd fight over who was going to own the bar. And then other times it'd be the opposite. You know, sometimes you don't want to be public facing, and sometimes you want to be out there chatting to people, don't you? So I think there's...
I'm not allowed anywhere near the production. I'm not saying I've supervised. I've watched them. I've watched them doing what they're doing, and I've taken notes just for my own interest in that. But yeah, they had me filling some casks in the warehouse, and it's like filling a car at a petrol pump. But the mechanism that we use, you know, it just doesn't stop when it comes to the very top. So it was like a whale's blowhole sometimes, as the spirit was like shooting out the edge of the barrels, out the bunghole as well. And they went, okay, right, that's enough. Just take that off.
Thanks for trying, Mark. Now you know what we're doing.
That's exactly it. And even sort of rolling the casks and the barrels, you know, it was like, for me, it was like herding cats. You know, I just couldn't make the cask or the barrel go the way that I wanted to it. And watching these guys who've been doing it for years, you know, it's like an art that I've never mastered. And I'm quite happy because my skills are elsewhere.
Yeah, good on you. Know your place, I think, is the...
Exactly.
What's your favourite whiskey then? Do you have one you'd like to tell us about from Wolfburn?
Yeah, you know, the question's like, what's your favourite child? You know, is it child number one? Is it your firstborn? And it depends on your mood. It depends on your, you know, what you want from a whiskey. You know, do you want a nice whiskey after a hard day's work, just to sit in your seat, shut the curtains and stick your fingers up to the world? Or do you want something that's, you know, you're going out, you're wanting to go into the party spirit, you're wanting to get ready and excited? But I always go back to the Northland, which was our first expression in 2016. And I can remember drinking that down at the distillery with the team. So that's got a certain place in my heart as well. And my mum actually bought me the first bottle of Wolfburn when it came out in 2016. My dad was a drinker, But he died in 2013 when Wolfburn started distillery,
Oh, that's
started
right.
production. So yeah, he's never had the opportunity to taste the spirit or to see me jetting across the world, promoting Thurzo on a world stage and Wolfburn on a world stage. So he would be immensely proud. And every Father's Day, we're lucky enough, we do like a Father's Day range. So the first dram out of every Father's Day bottle that I've had over the years goes to my father, you know, just
Oh,
as a wee thank you. So
that's
yeah.
lovely.
Yeah, I'm welling up a wee bit here, you know. It's but you know, at the end of the day, whiskey's about, you know, making friends, making memories, what whiskey you had, where it was, who you were with. And that's what the whiskey community is like as well. And it's not like a dog eat dog. It's like let's help each other. Let's, you know, we're not going to give away our trade secrets, obviously, but we're all in it. Yes, we're a business, we have to make money, but let's do it the right way. Let's do it the ethical way. Let's do it the easy way that gives everybody some sense of that sort of love and understanding of each other as well. So yeah, we're all social animals, so we like to feel part of something. That and at Wolfburn, it's that wolf pack mentality that we want the wolf pack sort of community to come to us. Because as a young brand, we want people to stay brand loyal. So as we grow, we want to take them on our journey, and it's working. You know, even in Paris there, I was seeing people that I'd met 2 years ago and 3 years ago, and I was recognizing them through my expert police training. I must admit, I'm good with faces, but I'm crap with names. And they were like, "How do you remember me? Why do you remember me?" And I was like, "Well, I spoke to you 2 years ago, or I spoke to you 3 years ago, and I remember you." And just that personal connection that we have, you know, people love that, because it's not contrived marketing. You know, it's what we are and who we are. And that's what people love about the brand, you know, the independent, the fiercely independent nature we are. We're not producing millions and millions of litres of spirit every year. Last year, we only produced 100,000 litres, which is, you know, a crazy, crazy small amount. But we've got capacity to maybe do 160,000 litres a year without any expansion. So we have options. But the more spirit you make, the more warehouses you have to build. And we are lucky because we're storing everything on site in traditional Dunnage warehouses. And it means you can just wander up from the still house into the warehouse, pop a bung and taste the spirit and see how it's coming along. But we've just built warehouse number 4, and we've got plans. The founds are down for warehouse 5 as well. So that should take us for a good few years yet. And then we'll just have to reevaluate. And that's what we've done over the last year as well. You know, adapt and overcome, adapt and survive. You know, we did a lot of Zoom tastings. We reached out to our retailers and distributors. We didn't do any content direct from the distillery because I felt it was a great opportunity to support people that were actually putting the bottles of Wolfburn into the hands of the consumer. So it was only right that we said to retailers and distributors across the world, we'll support you in anything that you want to do on, say, a Wolfburn Zoom tasting. And it's worked really well. We've got some great plaudits, and we've had some great feedback from people as well. So yeah, it's all working. It's all working, Nikki. Don't worry.
I wasn't worried. I'm quite the opposite. I was just in admiration, I suppose. I mean, I love that small business mentality, and I think there's sometimes there's this assumption that you if you're a small company that you should want to be big, you know, that you want to employ, you know, teams of 100, you want to be able to, you know, you want to be known by every single person in the whole world, etc. And there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be able to reach out to more people, but I do think that there's a charm and a satisfaction of running your own business or running a small business like that that you don't get as part of a corporate and you don't get as part of a enormous team. All I'm saying is there's absolutely no shame in that. If anything, you should be, you know, people should rejoice in that and really go, oh, you know, I would love to work for a small company. Or you know, you were saying how you've got people coming up from school and for apprentices and so on. I think that's brilliant. You're supporting local
It is.
people
You
and
know,
having that kind of chance to be able to build a business in a small community like that.
yeah. And you know, I use the analogy sometimes. If you want a piece of furniture that everybody's got. You go to IKEA, you buy something, you come home, you build it yourself. But if you want something that's handcrafted, bespoke, artisanal, you know, call it what you will, you go to a carpenter and you give them your thoughts and what you really want, and they fashion it out of, you know, their skill, their trade, their knowledge. And that's what we're doing at Wolfburn. That's quite a good analogy, I think, because definitely, the handcrafted nature of our product, you know, we're not just going in the morning, switching the computer on and then letting the computer do all the work. We're hands-on, we're watching, we're smelling, we're tasting, and there's quite a raw, a rawness to the process, I think, because it is so traditional, but we're using modern day efficient methods as well. So yeah, it's a nice, let's get back to basics, and people love that. You know, it's not just a conveyor belt or a production system. It's done with love and passion as well.
Yeah. And if you're supporting yourself, your families, you know, why not just be really happy in that smallness? You're not even that small, like 14 people. That includes
our owners, you know, our ex-military men and our brand manager, our accountant, you know, Paul and Charles, our director, Dave, and the five guys on the stills, the three others at, you know, Jen and Jim and Charlie at the distillery, and me, you know. So again, there's been times that we've all been together in the bottling hall. So it's that sense of belonging.
It's like a family, huh? Yeah.
It is. Belonging, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that in itself generates the motivation to do the best that you can and to do better and to actually invest yourself into the business as well.
Definitely. Just to go back very briefly, you mentioned that your favourite whiskey was, hold on, the Northland. Tell us a little bit about that whiskey or what you personally love about the taste.
Yeah, because it was our first expression, that was the one that came out and it put us on the map under the microscope, shall we say. As a young distillery, you're obviously looking at producing a spirit at a probably early age because you want some revenue back into the company. Now, we never did gin or vodka or rum because we wanted Wolfburn to be synonymous with a quality single malt scotch, which it is, you know, and again, I'm totally biased. But just after 3 years, we released the Northland, and the maturation is in small quarter casks from Isla, so it's a non-peated spirit, but matured in peated casks, basically. So there's a nice wisp of smoke. There's a lovely sort of orangey citrus note to it. I get a bit of salinity as well. Again, Thurso, we're right on the coast. So Caithness is flat as a pancake. The wind howls through. The sea air like drives through the warehouses as well. So, you know, I'm a great believer in using the outside environment to help give you a sense of sort of unique character in your whiskey as well. It's 46%, so it's a good bang for your buck, but we don't chill filter our whiskey, so all the fats, the proteins, the esters, all the conjugate, everything, we don't take anything out, and likewise we don't put anything in either. We don't use any artificial colouring. Everything is au naturel as well, which, you know, always adds to the traditional way that we make our whiskey. But yeah, it's got a nice spice to it, a nice bite to it, but it's not like a hot poker sort of going down the throat, you know, that burning sensation that you might get with some whiskies. I describe it as, or describe every Wolfburn expression as, if you imagine a happy tear just coming out the corner of your eye, gently rolling down your cheek. That's the sort of light vibrancy that we have at Wolfburn, that beautiful flora and fruity expressions that we make. And that's our DNA that we want to go through all our expressions. So in 10, 15 years from now, people can pick up a glass, maybe at a blind tasting, and if they say that's a Wolfburn, that's the accolade that any distillery wants. You know, that would be the pinnacle. And yeah, we'll look for world domination, but we'll just have to take our time.
Yes, no rush. Finally then, tell us, what advice would you give to somebody who would like to know more about whiskey?
The internet's great. Deep dive. Choose a brand like before Wolfburn came on board. When I was drinking whiskey, I used to always go towards the sort of like the old Pulteney, which is only 21 miles away from Wolfburn in Wick, because that was my local distillery. That was a Caithness distillery. So I would say to people, experiment, try and go local, try and build up a relationship with your fine purveyor of spirits, because sometimes you'll have an opportunity to go into the shop and they might have some open bottles and they can give you a taste, because it's like anything, you've got to experiment, you've got to start, you've got to try things. And I'll always say as well, if you can do it as part of a group or family, you know, it's far better, because when we're part of something like a whiskey tasting or a part of a group and you're tasting something for the first time, it's a shared experience. You know, and I'll hark back what I said to earlier on as well, because we're social animals, if you feel part of that that group, you can feel more relaxed, you feel more valued, and you can be more open in your opinions and your musings as you're tasting the whiskey as well. But yeah, just have a dive, try some expressions, because ultimately when people are looking at whiskey on a shelf, they have to justify the expense, and there's nothing worse than maybe buying a bottle of whiskey at a certain price and drinking it and thinking, I've spent how much on this? And this is rife, this is horrible. And it just puts you off. So it's about trial and error, and yeah, just experiment. And that can be, you know, by putting water in a whiskey or ice in a whiskey or iron brew or Coca-Cola, you'll burn in hell. There's other religions are available, but no, that's not right. You know, if that's the way that you want to drink your whiskey, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it, because it's your palate, it's your experience, it's your joy and wonder. So, you know, I listen to some people saying it's sacrilege, but it's like a meal. You start with the best ingredients, you're going to get the best taste, and it only you can decide, because of your own experience and your own upbringing, what you like and what you don't like. Nobody can tell you. So yeah, just go for it, just experiment.
Yeah, and it's also about the memories it evokes as well, isn't it? I mean, just you even talking better about the Northland and how it was, you know, the first expression that you did at Wolfburn. There's got to be a strong emotional thing there as well, hasn't it? It's not just the actual taste of it, but it's the remembering how fulfilling that was and how wonderful that was to actually release that whiskey.
Yeah, and you know, your palate, your tastes and flavours will change over the years as well, and it's just about, you know, I like to say to people as they're walking past the stand, especially for Wolfburn, because, you know, we're not well known. You know, we want to be better known. And they'll say, what's your oldest whiskey, or what's your most expensive whiskey? And that's a red flag for me straight away, because, you know, that's just what they want to taste. And what I'm trying to say to people is, although we're a young distillery, it's not about the quantity that we're producing, it's about the quality of flavour and taste. And they're immensely surprised when I manage to hook them and bring them to the stand and they get to taste the whiskey, that it sort of, it blows their mind a wee bit. And I always say to people, be adventurous. So when people come to the stand, I'll say, they'll say, oh, can you suggest me a whiskey? And I'll say, well, what do you like and what do you don't like? And they'll maybe say, oh, I love a sherry cask whiskey, but I don't like peated whiskey. So I'll give them a peated whiskey, just out of badness, just to see the response. And the great thing about our peated whiskey, it's only, our peated expressions are only 10 ppm, and we only run the stills lightly peated for 2 months of the year. So our peated spirit is quite unique, and it's a beautiful balance of sweetness and smoke with our peated spirit as well. And they turn around and say, I told you I don't like peated whiskey, but if you tell me this is a peated whiskey, I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, and that's the, you know, that's the sort of like the zut alors moment, the sort of epiphany moment that you want with people as well. It's just about pushing the boundaries and being adventurous. And there's a wee bit of mischief in there for me, but you'll always get that with me wherever you see me.
Bringing it back nicely to fortune favours the brave, huh?
Correct. Yeah, it's all about risk taking. If you take a risk, and then you'll be rewarded. But yeah, if you're sitting on your backside and you're not trying things, it's not going to be a happy life for you, is it?
On that note, Mark, thank you very much for your time. It was lovely speaking to you.
Spread the love. This is what we want. You know, just open our arms and welcome everybody to the Wolf Pack.
If you've enjoyed hearing from Mark, pop over to their website at wolfburn.com, where DistilleryTours.Scot podcast listeners can use the code DISTOURS10 for a 10% discount on whisky. The Wolfburn Distillery is also open weekdays for tours. Visit DistilleryTours.Scot and click on the Book Now button on the Wolfburn listing to find out more. DistilleryTours.Scot has every whisky distillery visitor centre in one place. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, or sign up for our Distillery and Whisky News monthly email to hear the podcast first at distilleryTours.Scot/signup. Next month, we'll be speaking to Pierrick Guillam, Distillery Manager at the Lagavulin Distillery on the Isle of Islay. We look forward to seeing you then.